Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Man, we are so into this week.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We committed that we're going to make sure that every much as we can this week mm-hmm. as we can get out about this encounter with God. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, God speaks to us. He speaks to us, you know, in visions and dreams. And I had this encounter with God. It was a powerful encounter with God where he showed me his throne room. He showed me, well, outside of it. And I'm trying to explain it. As a matter of fact, at the VFN Dream Center, I went and tried to talk this out where I could kind of get it out where you could hear it. And I was doing my best. And this is where we're picking up where we left off in our last program, where I'm talking about in the presence of God, immediately you're aware of sin and how we have to actually be mindful of that and the importance of Jesus in that. But then I also talk about what it's like standing right there, doing my best to explain to you about his throne room. Let's go there now.
And so understand that God's holy and that you see what sin does. Look what it does to the lives of many. It just rips them apart. It rips families apart. It rips marriages apart. And some people just refuse to let go of sin. But guess what? It just beats them. That sin just beats them and just tears up everything. And it's like, you know, if my repentance from my sin brings us apart, I'm sorry about that. But I can't be in that sin. Does that make sense? And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:23. He says, listen. Whatever's going into your eye makes up what your whole body is. So if you're taking in things that are lustful or that's murder, that's whatever in your eye, your whole body's made up with that. The reason why people can walk through schools and shooting is because they've done it in their heart and their eyes for a long time on games. You don't just do that. World War I, when we were called into World War I, so when America literally went out there and the world was at war and God used America to help save the world at that particular point, the people, the everyday Americans, they could not pull the trigger. They said, I can't shoot somebody. They couldn't do it. They had a problem. They put them on the front lines and they knew the humanity. They knew there was a person, there was a woman, there was a man, there was a child. There was a story behind that person. There was meaning to life. And they had a big problem in World War I. You know, they could not, it was hard for people to pull the trigger. So in World War II, what they did was and we didn't want to get into that war to the last, but we had to get into the war. You know, it's amazing, you know, if we wouldn't have had the war, what would have happened to the world at that point? But what they did in training was they actually took them through role playing how to kill someone so they could visually see how it would happen. You know, that's how God's designed us. If you can visually begin to see things and believe things, then you can do things. What happens with law enforcement, you have to visualize what it's like if this is raw stores being robbed and how you have to respond to it. You know, whatever you are, you have to begin to see yourself in it. Well, even in battle. But today it's like almost every young person today has a choice to be battle hardened already in their heart. If you read the scriptures, understand why would you want to kill the human creation? Why would you want to murder something that's made in the image of God, in the image of Christ's likeness, right? Why would you want to do that, right? And if I'm going to love people like I will love people, then I got to really think about that. And if he's holy and he is, and who am I? And so it's not always just, you know, PMS, power, money, and sex. It's literally the darkness. He said it'll be when the Lord returns, it'll be the same as the days of Noah when Jesus comes back. What was the days of Noah? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they had their mind on evil. Think about that. So it's going to be, he says, it's going to be just like that, which means it's going to be difficult for us. We have to pay attention not to put our mind on evil. Secondly, we need to know what evil is. Because a lot of times we just allow things to happen because it's so much of it, so common, we forgot it's evil. Well, we never knew it was evil. But when you come into the presence of God and the holiness of God, everything's checked. I mean, you just check, 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 check. Jesus, Jesus, you've seen Jesus, right? And so, just this Wednesday, in this dream, this vision, the Lord took me and put me at these double doors. These double doors. That's how I described them. It's like two doors that kind of close in the center, but they're big doors, and they're open like this. And they're open like maybe like 20, 25%. And on the other side of that door was the throne room of God that Isaiah was talking about. And I felt like Isaiah felt. This is God. This is God. The best way I can describe it. You have to understand. So many people says, you know, if you can talk to them, you can change their mind. If you say enough words, you change their mind. If you study long enough, you can change their mind. If you just do something or whatever, you know, God understands me. But you have to understand. God doesn't get to a place of right. He doesn't study and learn how to be right. He is right. It's kind of hard because we're so limited to understand. You have to understand, he's righteous. So, we don't go into the presence of God trying to bargain with him or try to say, I'll continue to shame my husband and we'll just do this whole thing. I'll shame my wife. I'll treat my kids like trash. I'll do whatever I want. You have to understand, that ain't going to work in the presence of God. Whew. I'm like, how do you explain righteousness? Because that's what I saw. Why are the angels covering their face and their feet and still declaring holy, holy, holy? And the whole earth is filled with his glory. Why is Isaiah going, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm amongst other people who sin. What do I do with all this? God's commands are not suggestions. They're not good ideas. They're commands. There's something, the best I can describe is that it comes from him because it is him. And he's not going to be anything else. So to have a relationship with him, you have to understand who he is and that he's holy. That's why the enemy works so hard of taking every standard of God and every man of God, every woman of God, every godly marriage, he just attacks it with everything he can and makes it because if that standard stands, if the ridicule doesn't take them out, if the other things doesn't take them out, if it stands, it proves that God exists and that he's holy. A harvest, you know, I mean, God's been speaking to us. Don't become familiar. I mean, he's saying that I have a whistle. When I blow that whistle, the nations will be gathered to me. But they won't be gathered to people who choose to live in a life of sin because he's bringing them to himself so that they can be free from sin like Isaiah was free from sin and like you can be free from sin today. You can make a choice to be free from sin. We'll talk about that. So what the Brownsville Revival was known for was every single night calling sin, sin, giving people a chance to repent for it, but being authentically real, not being all religious and stuff. It's just like sharing our stories and this is what's going on. But this is God. If every thought you ever had was written on the wall, what Steve said, you know, what would that be like? Well, I would like to think that we're always thinking like that. We're not going to carry thoughts in our head that are evil towards God or others, right? But that might not be so. Maybe your mind's filled with things it doesn't need to be filled with.
That's so important. I am talking about trying to explain about an encounter I had with the Lord in this vision of literally going to his throne room, I believe outside the doors, where the doors cracked, and I'm trying to express and explain with limited words what happened at the VFN Dream Center. As a matter of fact, we just had it at the beginning of the program. We're going to pick up here, but don't forget, you can get this whole thing as a gift from us to you at VFNKB.com. Just click on special offer. It's just yours. I just want to give it to you. That so you can see it in its entirety. But we're going to pick back up. This is me trying to explain what God showed me just that Wednesday before that Sunday when I'm talking about the throne room of God. Check it out.
So I'm standing at the doorway. Now, you have to understand, it's like we're talking about the gates being open and walking through the gates. But really what you're looking at, that God's about to blow open the, kick open the doors of heaven. But with that comes holiness, right? With that comes like, woe is me. And so some man's grabbing a hold of his chair when an altar call is happening, when somebody's saying repent. And what he's really doing is like, I see my sin, but I don't want to let go. That battle's happening. God's going, but I want to forgive you. All you got to do is just let go of the sin. I don't want to let go. I want to keep with my sin. And sometimes the man or the woman lets go, and sometimes they don't. But woe is the man or woman that walks away from that encounter. Because that's God going, I want to be with you. But you have to understand, he's so holy and righteous. Outside of him dealing with our sin, how he has to deal with our sin, we'll die. If you walk, I mean, you understand how active it is. Revelation chapter 4, you know, when you think about Revelation chapter 4, this is exactly what the Lord did. He took me to a doorway opened in heaven. That's what he took me. That's what he saw. This is after this, I looked in verse 4, verse 1, behold, a door standing open in heaven. So God literally took me to an open door in heaven. And I'm looking at what John's writing about right here, you know, and you can feel it. You can feel it. I mean, look at this. So he's standing at the open door and he says, and this voice that was speaking to me that sounded like trumpet said, come up here. That's a big deal. That's a big deal when you got angels going, holy, 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 the earth full of his glory and smoke and things are shaking and the threshold's shaking. He's like, come up here. That's a big deal. And you understand, it's like, that's what's going on. You know, Isaiah's going, whoa. And God sent an angel, like, come on up here. Like, wait a minute. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. Because you're instantly aware of his holiness, his righteousness. Understand, he loves you, but he's always the same. He's not being mean. He's being God. He's being who he is. And he wants to bring you to himself, but be able to bring you to himself outside of what he made a remedy for, you're going to die because of sin. The punishment for sin is what? It's death. So we have to understand. So he's like, oh, yeah, I really want to listen. This harvest is marked with repentance. It's marked with the reality every one of us needs a Savior. Nobody is outside of that, not even Isaiah. Nobody is outside of the reality that we all were lost in our sin. And Jesus did save us when we call out to him, or can save us if we call out to him. So he says, come up here. And I want you to think about that. And watch what he had to come towards. He says, I will show you what must take place. And at once, I was in the spirit. This is like what happened. I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne stood in heaven. So he's literally seeing the throne. Remember Isaiah when he saw the throne? He's going like, whoa. Throne. He says, and one was seated on the throne. And he who sat there had an appearance of jasper and carnelian. Around the throne was a rainbow. They had the appearance of emerald. It was like green. Around the throne had 24 elders, 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders clothed in white. In front of the throne came flashes of lightning. Imagine that. Have you seen? Imagine going, come up here. Give me a moment. Give me a moment, right? From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder and peals of thunder. And before the throne was seven torches, like, this torches is just, people like, I light a little candle burning. It's like, dude, you're missing it. It's like a torch. Seven of them. Which are the spirits of God. And before the throne, there was like a sea that looked like a sea of glass, crystal glass before the throne. And around the throne, each side of the throne, on either side, were the ones that Isaiah wrote about. On either side were four living creatures filled with eyes in front and behind. So they had eyes all over them. The first living creature was like a lion. The second creature was like an ox. The third was like a face of a man. And the fourth was like an eagle at flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, right? We just talked about the six wings. Full of eyes all around and within. So they had eyes on both sides. Inside had they were full of eyes. I wonder if God sees what I'm doing. What if God sees me on my phone late at night at the work break? What if he sees me in my sin? What if he sees me how I treat my spouse? What if he sees me how I treat my kids? What if he sees me? You know what I'm saying? He's got eyes everywhere. Eyes on the inside. Eyes on the outside. Eyes are everywhere. Inside and out. All around. And night and day, these angels, these living beings, never start crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And whenever they would do that, the 24 elders, they literally grab their crowns and throat, put them down, and they begin to cry out to God. They bow down and get off their thrones and start crying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord. Worthy, worthy is the Lord to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the power." People I see struggling with the understanding of God, they're trying to take the glory, they're trying to take the honor, and they're trying to take the power. If you want to go somewhere in your life, give God all the glory, give him all the honor, and give him all the power. He's the one doing it. You're just realizing he's doing it. Does that make sense? And you'll become aware of that. This is the thing about, this is my concern. How many people are going to show up in the throne room of God, and everybody will, with their mindset, what they convince themselves God is, and they're going to find out who he is the moment they show up. And Jesus said, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord." I'll give you that differently now, right? "Lord, Lord, didn't we? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do something?" It's like, dude, you missed it. Had nothing to do with that. He's holy. Does that make sense? He's holy. Has nothing to do with that you prayed for somebody and they were healed, or that you believe God for something happened, or you prophesied accurately, or you had wisdom. What mattered is, did you know him? He says, "Away from me, you evildoers." In other words, the sin issue was never resolved in their lives. Even though they ministered, even though they said they knew Jesus, even though they said they knew God, and many people followed them. But the thing about it is, they didn't know him. They just met him. They're going, "Lord, Lord." He's like, "I never knew you. Away from you, evildoers." Well, everybody's sinned and everybody's fallen in evil. But guess what? They did not understand the holiness of God and the requirement for repentance for sin. They knew about the things and stuff, and they knew how to do church. But they didn't understand sin. Sin is very deceiving. Its very nature is deceiving. That's why you need other people in your life. If you're isolated and all alone, you in sin, pretty much. But if you got people around you that's willing to love you, and I'm not critical. I'm not talking about critical people. That's a sin. Somebody criticizing you, somebody ridiculing you, that's not what I'm talking about. But somebody loves you enough to say, "Honey, son, sir, you can't. You're going to repent for that. That's not good. God loves you, but you're going to deal with that in your life." That's love. They might not know it till the day they stand before God, but it's love, because they will stand before God. Even the renowned atheist that died recently, guess where he went? Right before God. Hawkins, Stephen Hawkins. He went right in front of where I'm telling you to look in the face of one he denied his whole life, only to find out he was wrong. He was wrong, but it's too late.
I'm trying to explain what it was like for me when God took me in this encounter with him to the throne room of God. And I think about this. I think about what Jesus said, not what man said, what Jesus said. He said it in Matthew chapter 7. You can see the reference on your screen, that many people are going to show up where he just showed me. They're going to show up, and they're going to show up with such self-confidence and such self-righteousness that they feel right in themselves, that they're going to even come with a list of how they served God and what they did, and have evidence in their own mind how things were fulfilled. You know, "I cast out demons, I prophesied," and they're talking about these acts. But what they didn't understand the fact that it was about God. That Jesus is the image and the presence and the explanation of who God is. That to not understand and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you've done. You don't want to show up because he says many, many people are going to come in the last days and they're going to appear before me. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, like Isaiah, you know, woe is me. Can you imagine? But there's no remedy at that point. There's not going to be an altar call at the throne room of God. This is your moment. You don't want to wait to know God fully or know God at his throne. You want to know him now through his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son from his throne to earth so that we could show up eventually at his throne under the blood of Jesus Christ so we could be accepted with him and not destroyed because of our sin. I just want to encourage you right now. As a matter of fact, we're going to commit even to our next program. We're going to continue on letting you hear me trying to articulate that there's so much more. But I want to ask you right now, what about, is that you? Have you been caught up in works and you've been so busy to doing things that you have no time for anybody and you're like, you know, the rich young ruler, or maybe you're like the religious Pharisees that's criticizing sinners instead of actually go and tell them that God loves them and God will forgive them and God wants to redeem them. You know, I mean, where are you in this whole thing? Maybe you don't know God. I want to encourage you. You know, we shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where we shared about our experiences. When you see our lives and how we came to know God and that God just reached down because of he's merciful, he's loving, he's kind. That's why you're hearing this right now. God set this whole thing up for you to be able to hear. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's holy, but he made a way to come into his holiness through his son, Jesus Christ. You can accept Jesus Christ, make him the Lord of your life by acknowledging your sin. If you don't acknowledge it now, believe me, you'll acknowledge it in his presence. It just becomes so evident, you know, right there in his presence. You're totally evident that you have sinned, you have fallen short, and that you need a savior. But if you wait till you get to the throne room of God, it's too late. There's so much darkness today. There's so much sin. You know, a lot of the young people, there've been so many things that come over their eyes. They get in the presence of God and they just take it for granted, not realizing he's a holy God. To be in his presence, to feel his awesomeness, to be healed, to be delivered, to be forgiven. Those are huge things. It means you're in right standing with God. And what God's been having on my heart even today is the very fact of thinking, you know, the church is so busy with its games and its stuff and its things. It's not even thinking about or has time to tell sinner about God or to have value in a brand new believer who just stepped out of the world, who said yes to Jesus Christ, that God is speaking to in their life, and they pass them by and continue their games and allow that person to be devoured by wolves. And we've got to make up our mind. If God's going to be bringing in a big harvest, a billion plus souls he's talking about to us, to many. But the question is, are you going to be the harvest? Are you going to be the person that shows up and says, Lord, Lord, did I not? And he goes, no, you turned your back on me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. When I was hungry, when I was, you know, just needing to be encouraged, and I just made my decision to follow Jesus, you did nothing for me. You couldn't even give me the time of day. You thought I was too dirty for you. That's what they said to Mary when Mary was there washing the feet of Jesus and anointing him with the alabaster box. The religious people stood around and said, look at him. Talking about Jesus, God in the flesh. Look at him. You don't even know who's washing his feet. But Jesus says, she's the one that's in right standing with me. She'll be talked about forever. She's at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to ask you that question right now. Where are you? Where would you be in that particular room when Mary was anointing Jesus with her alabaster box? Yes, she came out of a life of prostitution, but she was forgiven. She was restored. She was in right standing with God. But the people who were standing up, who thought they were in right relationship with God, weren't. They were criticizing God for what he was allowing to happen. I want to ask you right now, if you want to make that decision for God, go to meetmyfather.org because we shared our experiences right there. Just make that decision. Say, God, that's me. I want to be at your feet. But right now, we just want to pray right now for you. Father God, I just pray for our audience that you would encourage them, that you would inspire them. You give them these same encounters, Father God. Lord, and we ask you right now, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the BFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.